I hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and falling down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country. And you're walking on the right beside me. I read about some squirrely guy who claims he just don't believe in fight. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in a falling down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in a falling down key. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side. I mean, that's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. Those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me. So much to report today. Here's an item that just came my way, and I'll thank Dr. James Sanchez down there in Seattle for sending this my way. Soros, that's of course the Hungarian Jew, George Soros, who I think is actually now an American citizen, jeez, is fundraising for the DACAs. Now that's the those people who are illegals who were brought to America as children, and there's a great deal of hue and cry wanting to get them regularized. President Trump, to his great credit, has resisted a lot of this. Dear Move On member, $495. That's how much it costs for a Dreamer to renew their DACA status every 2 years and be protected from the fear of deportation. But many immigrant youth who qualify cannot afford to pay these steep fees. They can't afford to pay $495 every 2 years. Come on. Anyway, that's why our friends at United We Dream have created the DACA Renewal Fund, which has already covered the application fees for more than 3,000 DACA recipients. Will you make a tax-deductible contribution to ensure every DACA recipient is able to renew without worrying about the hardship of paying the legal fees. If you and I have legal problems, who pays our fees? Every penny will go to this effort. The donation is tax deductible, and this organization, Move On, keeps none of this contribution. The lives of nearly 800,000 immigrant youth were thrown into uncertainty and fear when Donald Trump ended DACA over a year ago. But despite his most ruthless efforts, the DACA program, which protects immigrant youth from the fear of deportation, the fact that they're illegal in the United States doesn't seem to matter, allows them to work and study instead of living in fear, is still intact. Now the fate of the DACA program and hundreds of thousands of young immigrants rests with the courts. So far, three different federal courts have ruled that the current protections must be honored, but have closed the program to new applicants. The Supreme Court, which could have the final say, just announced that it will not take up a case on DACA this summer. That means existing DACA recipients who arrived in the United States as children and have made their lives here can continue to renew their status so they can live, work, and go to school without fear. But the process is also complicated and expensive. The application fee alone to renew one's person's DACA protection costs $495 every 2 years, putting it out of the reach for some and throwing their lives into turmoil. I quite frankly do not believe that. They asked to make a tax deductible donation. Trump created a crisis by ending DACA, and Republicans in Congress have continued to try to use the fate of Dreamers as a bargaining chip in exchange for draconian anti-immigrant policies that tear families apart and terrorize entire communities. Listen to the nonsense. Tear families apart. No, they don't tear families apart. If illegals cross the border and break the law, then they have to expect that they may feel the consequences of doing that. You know, those be arrested and might be separated from their children. That's not the same thing as tearing families apart. People who engage in such behavior are the ones who are putting their families at risk. But the nonsense continues. And even though the majority of Americans want Congress to pass the DREAM Act to make DACA protections permanent, it's clear that Trump and the Republicans in Congress are intent on using Dreamers as a political tool for their own anti-immigrant agenda, brutally chipping away at every protection within their reach. We cannot let that happen. Every existing DACA recipient who can apply to renew these important protections must have the support and funds to do so. Move On members of all from all walks of life stood with the Dreamers, immigrants and refugees against Trump's relentless attacks since this administration assumed office. Together, we've raised our voices to Congress, demanding the passage of a clean DREAM Act, calling for an end to family separation, opposing Trump's ludicrous and racist wall. How's it a racist wall? It prevents anybody who's illegal on the other side from entering. Doesn't even distinguish between race. An ISIS Muslim from Afghanistan would be equally stopped as would an illegal from Guatemala. In the past 2 years, we've made tens of thousands of calls to our representatives. Move On members across the country have visited the offices of our members of Congress, marched in the streets, and consistently demanded immigration policies rooted in our shared values of inclusion, respect, and love. God. When Trump shocked the nation and recklessly ended DACA, the lives of so many were upended by uncertainty and fear. By joining together and working side by side with immigration leaders, we've sent a message to the immigrant youth who have been so cruelly attacked by this administration that they are not alone in this fight, that we will not give up and we'll continue to support them. So again, they ask for the donation. This is, of course, one of George Soros's many front groups. Now, something that Canadians like to think of about themselves is that we are nice people. And we like to think of that in terms of, by way of contrast to Americans. Americans, and this is not my view, but this is a fairly common view among some Canadians, especially those on the left, but not only. Americans are, in their view, perhaps boastful and loud. French are arrogant. Chinese are, well, what shall we say, sneaky? Okay. However, the reality is that the reality is that many Canadians are not very nice people. I'm sure there are some Americans that aren't very nice, but this characteristic of niceness and benevolence and politeness. In fact, it's sometimes said that one of the most common phrases in Canada is "I'm sorry." And it's true. In social interactions, often we do apologize to each other if you bump into somebody, or even just maybe pass by them, and maybe on the way to a door, and maybe we should have given them priority. Nonetheless, that is a characteristic. But there are many examples where Canadians are not by any means nice. And I'm coming back to something I've shared with you before in the Monica Schaefer story, and there's been kind of another development in that story. And this has to do with an incident that happened on Thursday in a stationery shop in Jasper, Alberta. In fact, it's called the Three Sheets Stationery Laundromat. Just a bit of background about Monica. Monica is a Canadian. She lived for 35 years in the Rocky Mountain town in Alberta, Jasper. It's the site of a huge national park, skiing area, very beautiful area. But it's attracted a lot of left wingers who work in the park or work in various government related jobs. Yeah, I would say it's not typical in its political attitudes of small town Alberta. Anyway. In June of 2016, Monica recorded a very powerful 6-minute video where she starts off playing the violin and then speaks and then ends up playing the violin. Very engaging. She's a very friendly person, engaging person. She played for every benefit for free in Jasper for years. Really contributed her time and talent. She's a trained violinist. She plays, she teaches violin and so on. She ran four times for the Green Party before she became more politically enlightened. Monica's video was entitled "Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust." Well, that set off all hell. It became extremely controversial. There were people in town, there was a real hate on against her. She was banned from the local Legion. Now you might say, well, how is that, or how important is that, or what's the significance? Well, in a small town, the Legion is in many cases the center of social activity, and Monica played in a number of different musical groups, which just all happened to play at the Legion. So this was very serious. It was an arbitrary ban, and even though she tried to challenge it,
She got nowhere. The head of the Legion made her ruin a particular hobby horse of his. He made filed complaints against her with the Alberta Human Rights Commission, the Federal Human Rights Commission, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the German government, even though she's not a German citizen. She was born in Canada, raised in Canada. She's a Canadian. In other words, this man went out of his way to cause her harm, but he wasn't the only one. There were all sorts of slights. There was a gossip campaign. When she walked by the local high school, brave teenage boys would holler out things like Heil Hitler and so on. And social pressure led all her music students to quit. In other words, there was a concerted effort to ruin her financially. This, of course, from the same type of people who would say that they're for diversity and inclusion. She had been instrumental in urging the city council or town council, I suppose, in Jasper, to adopt to set out a busking policy. Now, if you're not quite familiar with busking is public performance where passers-by are entertained either by your act or by your music, and you leave out a violin case or a hat or a tin, and you accept donations. And it's a fine old tradition. And in rules-crazed Canada, of course, it wouldn't be allowed for somebody to set up and start busking. There has to be regulation. So Monica had lobbied the town council for some time to set up a policy on busking and to allow that. Well, she did that. And they announced the policy in 2016. Well, she applied. In fact, she probably made the first application for a busking permit. She was turned down. Now, you wonder, well, how could they, on what grounds could they turn her down? That she wasn't a musician or couldn't play good music? Well, no, she's a highly accomplished fiddler, so that wasn't the reason. No, they said that her videos, by this time plural apparently, were not inclusive. Now you scratch your head and wonder what exactly what do they even mean by that? They're not inclusive. Well, you know, anytime you state a point of view to some extent, you're not inclusive. If you say, "I'm proud to be an American," well, that would sort of suggest you're not proud to be a Mexican because you're not a Mexican. If you say, "I'm a Republican," well, that is to some extent not inclusive. That means you're not a Democrat. Anyway, this was a thinly veiled excuse to try to do as much as possible to damage her. Anyway, this is a long way, a lot of background, but it's kind of important. Anyway, the latest snub and slight. Over the Christmas period of 2018, Monica visited her brother Alfred in Germany. He lives outside of Munich. Now, Alfred has been her collaborator in a number of videos. In fact, he's made many more videos and much more direct videos criticizing the new religion of Holocaust than Monica has, which takes a lot of bravery in the police state or the intellectual police state of Germany. So, turned out that on January 3rd of 2018, Monica was arrested and charged under Germany's notorious paragraph 130 or section 130 of their criminal code, which is a very, very loose, vague thing. It talks about incitement of the masses or incitement of the public to racial hatred. But really what it is dissent from the Hollywood version of World War II. In other words, if you question the so-called Holocaust, you've got problems. She was held for 4.5 months before she was even charged. She was held in a maximum security prison in Germany. Finally, she was charged. She and her brother went on trial beginning in early June. The trial bumbled along till October. In the end, she was given 10 months in jail. She had actually served 10 and was released on time served. Her brother was given 3 years plus 2 months, and that sentence started actually in June. She returned to Jasper late in October, and we've had her on the Canadian Association for Free Expression has had her on a Cross Canada speaking tour, which has thus far taken her to, let me be sure I've got this right, 8 cities in which she's delivered 10 talks, which that included 3 in Vancouver. Okay, all this by way of background, which brings us up to Thursday of this past week. The owner of a small town local business in Jasper, Alberta, refused to provide a simple service today. That was on January 31st, based on the idea that she did not want to serve a person who hates. Three Sheets Jasper Incorporated triples as a stationery, print shop, and laundromat. Upon my entry, Sonia with a J, Sonia L. Dickey, asked me what she could do for me. I said I needed something photocopied. She replied she needed to see what it was first. I asked if she was controlling and censoring everything first before providing service. Is that how she runs her business? I queried. There's a backstory. About 2 years ago, I had brought in a two-sided color book review, Tell the Truth and Shame the Devil by Gerard Manuin, to have copies made. She stared trance-like at it for a long time, until I wondered whether she'd had a stroke. She then informed me she did not want to participate in this. She refused to make copies. Since that time, however, I've been in the shop on several occasions to make purchases or have had other things copied. I was always friendly and even cracked jokes with her, recalls Monica. I thought that dispute we had over the copy refusal had been somewhat amicably resolved. She was certainly willing to take my money for the subsequent services and purchases. And Tell the Truth and Shame the Devil is an amazing book by Gerard Manuin. He is a Jewish, or was born Jewish, and it was the son of the famous violinist, Yehudi Menuhin. And he is a strong anti-Zionist. Anyway, upon my protest today regarding her refusal to provide service in exchange for a fee in a shop which advertises this service, she stammered some incoherent things which made no sense to me. She said she did not want anything to do with something that might involve the police. I explained to her that she should never think we actually live in a free country with freedom of speech if this is the kind of fear she feels. She retorted, now this is interesting, and this is what I've told many people to say if they churn out the old byword. Canada's a free country. Or we live in a free country. No, sorry, sunshine, we don't. We live in an intellectual police state where freedom of speech is regularly trampled on, legally and illegally, under the law and even despite the law. Anyway, when Monica told her this is not a free country, she retorted, I'm not afraid. I explained that if you have a shop, there's a simple exchange of goods or services for money, and that's what I was there to do. I dropped the document on the table and invited her to look at it. It could have been my mother's kitchen recipes for all she cared at this point, because she did not even look at it. And in fact, Monica told me what it was the speech given by her brilliant and very courageous German lawyer at her trial in Munich. Her German lawyer is Wolfram Naroth. Anyway, a mutual friend of ours wanted that speech. Anyway, Monica's account continues. She simply declared that she did not want me there, she would not serve me, and that I must leave. I remained standing. She declared with glowering eyes, She did not want to serve someone who hates. Oh gosh, what does that mean? I asked. She could not answer. They never can answer. She showed me the door. When I did not move quickly enough for her little tantrum, she threatened to call the police. I said, go ahead. I laughed and went on my way. And then Monica provided the contact numbers, the email, written address, and phone numbers for Sonia Dickey and her business. If you write or call, please remain polite and informative, and do not resort to smears or insults. Anyway, and that's Monica's account. I was furious at this petty censorship. Now, to begin with, and I'm not a lawyer, but Sonia Dickey is very likely in violation of the Alberta Human Rights Act, which prevents discrimination in the provision of publicly available goods and services. Whether you agree with that or not, and I probably don't agree. I agree people businesses should have the right to deal with those whom they want in general. Nonetheless, almost everybody would say that was outright discrimination. There is no valid reason for Sonia to believe that she's somehow participating in the commission of a crime. And this is outright meanness and discrimination. Now, as I've mentioned a little earlier, Canadians tend to like to see themselves as nice. We're nice people. We're inclusive. And you see where I'm going here? We're inclusive. but not for you. You're a hater. Monica had not said anything hateful. She had not come in the shop shrieking political slogans or preaching. The discrimination is just outright bigotry. Well, I swung into motion on behalf of the Canadian Association for Free Expression, and I sent benefited Sonia Dickey with some of my thoughts, and I sent the following letter to her, which I will am now glad to read to you. And this was sent on the 2nd. And it's addressed to Sonia Dickey. Dear Miss Dickey, I read on the internet about a recent incident in your store where you refused to provide service, running off photocopies to local musician Monica Schaefer because you believe she's a hateful person. You're in the business of serving the public, not running a private club. You're obligated to serve anyone who behaves and can pay her bill. Your treatment of Ms. Schaefer may well be a violation not only of her rights, but of provincial statute. I have asked our in-house counsel to review the law so that we might advise Ms. Schaefer further. I do a nightly radio show entitled The Fighting Side of Me. I invite you to be a guest on my show to explain your actions. I heard Ms. Schaefer speak recently in Toronto as part of a Cross Canada tour. Her treatment at the hands of some people in Jasper, shunning, banned from the Legion, subject of a smear campaign to ruin her violin lesson business, was disgusting. Jasper sounds at times like a bigoted, judgmental small town right out of some old movie. I hope you'll reconsider your treatment of her and consider coming on my show. We can hook up by Skype. And I signed off Paul Fromm. Well, do you think I received a response from her? No. Talk about cowardice. Well, I was very, very happy to see a large outpouring. Now, I must say, these are only people who contacted me about it. But I saw a large outpouring of people writing to Sonia Dickey. Oh, yes, I might add,
I posted this story on the website of the Canada First Immigration, I'm sorry, the Canadian Association for Free Expression, and also sent it out to my fairly extensive email following the story, and urging them, as did Monica, to, if they agree, to send letters to the to Sonia Dickey and express their point of view, and to express it, of course. And she said, and I would strongly reiterate this, I say, in decent terms, using it as an opportunity to mouth off is not helpful. You know, to be abusive. Not that Sonia Dickey doesn't deserve contempt, but writing nasty stuff is not the way to go. And occasionally, I know some people on our side of the fence seem to become particularly liberated, especially if they're writing under a pseudonym. And I want to emphasize, it really just doesn't help. You know, that's not the way to go. Well, here's some of the responses. Arlene Johnson from England writes, "Dear Miss Dickey, it has come to my attention that you think Monica Schaefer is a hateful woman. Therefore, I would like to present to you facts that are indisputable, because it's not Monica who hates, it's the Zionist Jews who do. Here's what I've published that proves that no 6 million Jewish people were gassed during World War II." And there's a list of her publications. Just to summarize, not a single Jew died in a gas chamber in World War II. And so she lists a very extensive list of a very extensive overview of the whole Holocaust story. I'm not going to read all that, but she was one. There are many, many people who sent in letters. Here's Al from Alberta, or Calgary, Alberta. And he says, "Dear Sonia, recently you refused service to brave Monica Schaefer. You need to know that Monica does not hate anyone, as you fervently believe, but stood up for the right to disagree on something. That's not hate. It's our right to debate, to disagree, to challenge any and all ideas. In Canada so far, to scare people like yourselves to keep quiet. You are fearful and obedient to the idea that someone who simply states that she does not believe the official story about something must be run out of town and destroyed. This is the despicable act you and your friends have done. Shame on you. You seem to not understand that your very business depends on free speech, the right to print free ideas. Try that in the old Soviet Union or North Korea or Cuba. You will go to jail for expressing free speech. You could not run your little printing business there. Did you know that? Canada is so far not there, but you need to understand that Monica stood up for you and me and 35 million Canadians to protect that right. So you can run a business that operates on the principle of free speech. The people like Monica Schaefer are free to fight, are willing to fight for on your behalf. And for that, you stab her in the back. The obvious subject is Holocaust gas chambers, which has been proven wrong by scientists and engineers. Most people, including myself, and many politicians, scientists, academics, lay people, see the Holocaust as a big lie. These were work camps, nothing more. There was and is not any evidence of anything sinister happening there. All Monica did was express her belief that the Holocaust never happened. That is not hate, that's simply a belief and our Canadian right to do so.
unfortunately, you being drawn into the fear of speaking for yourself and maybe thinking for yourself. Speaking about any subject is not hate. It's about questioning the official story. I know for a fact, Monica Schaefer does not hate, as you put it. She simply reserves the right to express her opinion, which I wholly agree with, as do millions of others. By disallowing Monica to use your services, you are making a strong statement that you agree that free speech must be killed and stifled if someone does not like your point of view. Well, that's a dangerous thing. I may not agree with you, for example, but I don't prevent you from running your business or conducting your life. We discuss, we disagree, but we walk away agreeing we disagree. We do not chastise or disenfranchise each other. Jasper has bullied Monica shamefully. I hope you are proud. Because Monica stood up for her conviction, she was imprisoned in Germany. She was brave and she stood up for principles of free speech, the most fundamental rights humans have in a free society. Jasper should be ashamed of itself for victimizing a wonderful, productive, peaceful soul. In medieval times, people like you watched accused people tied up and burned at the stake, and I'm sure you would have been right there watching, cheering, and happiest at someone being killed for some idea that others disagreed with. Is that the world you want? I do hope you have a serious think on your actions. I hope you and your fellow Jasperians have a reflection on how you treated a fellow citizen for simply standing up for basic Canadian rights. Maybe one day you'll actually get some guts and conviction and realize that the free speech Monica stands for is more than you and your many fellow Jasperians have done except condemn someone for protecting what you don't even know you have. I'm sad for you and your friends. You have a lot to think about. And this is, that Al's letter was only one of many. I think, I have a feeling that Sonia Dickey isn't quite sure what hit her. When Monica returned this afternoon, that's from a walk, she found that there had been a phone call for her. Somebody from the local detachment of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police wants her to give him a call. She called back, but of course he wasn't in. Probably donut break. Anyway, the comedy goes on. One may speculate that Sonia may have gone scurrying off to the police to claim she was, I'm scared. Meanwhile, when Monica's letter went out, at least one person on Facebook, and I'm not going to use the name, but I may come back to this later, published a rant calling her a cunt just denouncing and defaming her and ample use of fuck off and so on against Monica. And you can't imagine a more gentle person than Monica Schaefer. Well, changing subjects. And this is the manufacture of white guilt. White genocide is frequently referenced in social media and in print journalism. White advocates work to alert their kinsmen to the replacement of ethnic Europeans in their European homelands and North America. Anti-white leftists and Bolshevist journalists dismiss the idea of white genocide as a white supremacist conspiracy theory. Well, when you see it happening before your eyes, sorry, sunshine, it's not a conspiracy, it's true. Is white genocide a mortal danger to white people? The definition of the crime of genocide can be found in Article 2 of the Genocide Convention, which was negotiated amongst the United Nations member states in 1948. This standard is used to determine if a person is being destroyed in whole or in part by killings, serious bodily or mental harms, birth prevention, forcible transfer of children to another group, or inflicted conditions of life calculated to bring about the group's physical destruction. Let's consider the treatment of the European people in light of this definition of genocide. The topic of white genocide could fill a book. We could discuss the white genocide happening in Europe right now, with white people being arrested for speaking against mass immigration of hostile peoples, while globalist organizations receive government funding to advocate for demographic replacement of the native European or white people. We could highlight the glee American media punditry takes when reporting on our impending demographic replacement by high birth rates among third world migrants, or the HUD programs created explicitly to remove non-whites, to move non-whites into white communities. But word count requires that I limit my discussion to but one facet, and even this superficially. Let's touch on the less frequently discussed mental harm being inflicted on white people, which facilitates every other crime committed against our group. This insidious aspect of genocide is more implicit than other facets, but is still observable through examination of transparent agendas present in our media and education system, as well as symptoms present in our race. The news media manipulates viewers in a myriad of ways. One example of this manipulation can be found by looking at media coverage of police shootings of black criminals. They portray these black criminals as victims and the officers as tools of a racist system, a system which perpetuates itself through the murder and suppression of minority groups. These hostile commentators blatantly ignore publicly available crime statistics and police shooting data that reveal truth entirely inconsistent with their lies. For instance, whites are more likely to be shot by police than blacks, so that is the fact. Another example is that the mainstream media memory holds or does not report at all of the thousands of interracial crimes committed every year against whites. Likewise, the American education system works to portray white people as evil or subhuman destroyers of peaceful populations. There's a never-ending supply of leftist-created textbooks and coursework that portrays Europeans as unique enslavers, perpetrators of genocide, and by our very nature, evil racists. Leftist educators reinforce the lie that white countries have built their successes on the backs of brown and black people. White students are not prepared to be proud of the unmatched accomplishments of their people. Rather, they are mentally abused and manipulated to feel guilty for the wickedness and privilege of their people. The only time white people are allowed to view themselves as a collective is if the context is a negative one. The result of this emotional abuse is that descendants of the great European conquerors and explorers begin to hate their own racial group, creating a justification in their own mind for the atrocities inflicted upon us and for our eventual replacement. And the author concludes, are white people victims of serious mental harm? The answer is an unequivocal yes. We can no longer stand by and permit the cultural messaging of the American media and education system to brainwash our people into being either complicit observers or active participants in the genocide of our people. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. I'm going to take my musical interlude right now. I'm going to play a song by a wonderful country western singer, blonde singer and songwriter from Tulsa, Oklahoma, Becky Hobbs. And this was one of her iconic songs, Jones, as in George Jones, the possum, sometimes in his drinking days, no-show Jones at concerts. And this is Jones on the Jukebox. And You on My Mind, Becky Hobbs. Jones on the Jukebox, You on My Mind.
There's a fool in the field, looking back across the water. Reflections of a woman whose world just fell apart. Now the life we've been together, and the golden rings are gone. And it's whiskey versus memory, and it looks like the race is on my mind. just wanna be alone with your memory. Now the music's good and country, and the whiskey's feeling right. You won't be back, but George and Jack will help me through the night. And I've got Joan on the jukebox, and you on my mind.
Hawes, Jones on the jukebox, and You on My Mind. Yeah. Another one by another great. Great country western singer, another blonde lady. This is Rhonda Vincent, Bright Lights and Country Music. Rhonda Vincent.
Thank you.
Here's another. This was a Connie Smith song.
When you found somebody new, I thought I never would forget you, for I thought that I never could. But time is taking all the pain away. Until now, I'm down to hurt you once a day.
Rhonda Vincent, Once a Day. And here's another song by Rhonda, I'm Not Over You.
Thank you.
That's Ron DeVinson, and this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me. But back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time. This show is repeated at 8 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon. Both of those are in Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me.
Of yore from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen, and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Dominion now extends from Ypres to Nootka Sound. May peace forever be our lot, and plenteous store abound. And may those ties of love be ours, which discord cannot sever, and flourish green o'er freedom's home, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen, and heaven bless the maple leaf forever.